Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer Distributors. For more information, visit unionbeerdist.com.
My name is Hannah Forden. I'm the membership coordinator at Heritage Radio Network, but even before I joined the team, I loved listening to HRN during my subway commute. It made the time go quickly and left me feeling inspired for the day ahead. HRN listeners tune in from all over the world. But there are a few traits that we all have in common, no matter where we listen from. A curious palate, the fierceness to make a difference, and a hunger for lifelong learning about the culinary world. As you know, Heritage Radio Network is a listener-supported nonprofit. To deliver the most ambitious, entertaining, and of-the-moment stories in 2018, we need your help. We need to raise $150,000 by December 31st to accomplish these goals and to keep your favorite shows on the air. Together, we can make this HRN's most exciting, impactful, and delicious year yet. Become a member by donating today. Join us at heritageradionetwork.org/donate, and you'll immediately start enjoying benefits such as VIP invitations to HRN events, where you will mix and mingle with your favorite hosts. Memberships also make a perfect holiday gift for all the foodies in your life. This year, why not give the gift of food radio? You'll hear your generosity in action for the year to come. Help keep our lights on and our mics hot by pledging your support today at heritageradionetwork.org/donate. Thanks for listening.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's November 21st, 2017, and it's pretty much Thanksgiving week right here in Heritage Radio Network studio. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. We're going to be talking about pizza and beer and beer and a little bit of Thanksgiving pairings, but more about, you know, what's going on in the world of New York City beers. And I'm rambling because we're waiting for our two special guests from Ribalta, Robert and Chef Cozzolini. They're coming over with some fresh pizza for us, and that's going to be a big treat as we pair it with some IPAs and some Italian craft beer. And also joining the studio, it's Kenny from Hop Culture, and these guys have a special festival coming up in New York City. So we're going to talk about that first. So, Kenny, tell us about your festival that's coming up, Juicy Brews.
Yeah, we got the Juicy Brews Festival coming up in New York City. It's a sequel to one we just did in Pittsburgh. Had some awesome breweries coming into Pittsburgh. Got some more awesome breweries coming into New York. We're bringing in 24 breweries, bunch of them who do not have normal distribution in New York City. So we're super excited about that.
Yeah, that's exciting. So tell you guys have a magazine called Hop Culture.
Yeah, Hop Culture is a magazine that was founded in at the beginning of the year. We all digital, covered beer. My co-founder and I came from a magazine called Gear Patrol.
Oh, so you guys are heavy hitters.
We are
indeed. Gear Patrol is cool, man.
Thank you. So we worked there for a while, and then, just caught the beer bug. So decided to start our own thing, and we've been doing that for about a year.
You've been all around. You know Justin Kennedy said you guys were out at the Great American Beer Fest.
I'm a nomad is what it is. I like traveling.
Yeah.
Any opportunity I get to go around the country, and especially go around the country.
So what's the date of that? It's December 2nd?
3rd. It's
December 3rd.
Yeah, December 3rd.
And it's called Juicy Brews?
Juicy Brews. Yeah, we got Aslan coming. We got Bearded Iris coming. Can't say the last one yet that I was about to say, because that's going to be a surprise. We're teasing that.
You have how many breweries are... first time in New York City?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm looking at your list.
Yeah,
you got Aslan, Austin Street.
Austin Street's from Portland. They don't have regular distribution here. Bearded Iris doesn't. Brick City, I think they're in New Jersey.
That's from Jersey, yeah.
Burley Oak doesn't. Civil Society coming in. Crime and Punishment Florida. Coming in from Philly. We got Dancing Gnome from Pittsburgh, which I don't think has ever poured in the city before. They're awesome, awesome dudes. We got
District 96. Yep, District they got 96. Fifth Hammer, our friend Chris Kuzme from Queens.
Oh, Kuzme.
Nice.
I didn't know you knew Kuzme.
Oh, yeah. No, he's also got a show on the network.
Oh, right
about
on.
It. Yeah. Oh, and we're drinking one of them. So Equilibrium. Let's talk about that since we have it in glass. Equilibrium. So they're up in the Hudson Valley. That's another new brewery. I've never even heard of them before.
Yeah, so they opened this year. I believe it's two MIT graduates taking their hard-earned knowledge and applying that specifically to beer, which is pretty dope. This is the D-Hop 1 that we're drinking now. It's a double IPA. I think this series, they focus exclusively on a single hop, which a lot of breweries are doing, but I don't know. I have to look on Instagram which hop it is, but this series, they just used one hop, and yeah, you really get
a lot
of
good. That. It's a good IPA. So it's all IPAs at the Juicy Brew Festival.
IPAs and sours. It's Juicy Brews. It's, you know, whatever's both. Juicy. Fruit forward, hazy. But yeah, a lot of IPAs. It's kind of
definitely. So who's picking the beers? All of you or
mostly
you?
Me.
You're the guy.
No,
I'm
it's
this
the
list.
Whole
is crazy.
Team.
Magnify Brewing is on there. From Jersey, LIC Beer Project, Finback, a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Night Shift Brewing.
We, nobody knows about that yet. That's not actually supposed to be on that list.
We have the inside info
surprise,
from Justin.
Yeah, Beer Sessions. You get
Sand City Brewing from Long Island.
Yeah, The Answer down in Richmond and Triple Crossing. I don't know. When we did the festival in Pittsburgh, it was our first event. We didn't really know what would happen, but we figure we get enough really awesome breweries in one room together and something cool would happen. And something really cool happened. It was a lot different from the traditional festival experience where you're waiting in a line. You know, there were no lines. It was more of a big kind of party than a festival. The brewers themselves are pouring unlimited pours. Everyone just had a good time. A lot of the breweries that met there are now doing collaborations, which is pretty cool. So to have the opportunity here to do another event twice as big with a whole new list of breweries is pretty cool. So we're stoked to bring that to New York.
It seems like this next like evolution in Beer Fest. I know the guys from McKellar have done a couple cool things, Copenhagen Beer Fest. You know, how do you meet these brewers? Just from writing or from beers that you like?
It's a lot of, I mean, my co-founder and I have been working in the industry for a while and writing about beer for a while, first for Gear Patrol and now for Hop Culture. So you just meet people and you figure out who would be fun to hang out with for a day.
It's always nice when there's like a specially curated list. And,
definitely.
New breweries coming to town. And you're also working through Union Beer Distributors.
Union Beer. Shout out Union Beer. Mike Naclario at Union has been hugely helpful to us. They're bringing in most of the beer, not all of it, for the festival.
And how does that work? So how do they, did they import it into the state? What's this? How do they get these beers into New York?
A lot of legal hurdles. You know, with the three-tier distribution system we have in the U.S., the distributors are the only ones who can actually transport and move beer. So, finding somebody who's amenable. Union's been super helpful and super cooperative in helping us, bring these breweries in. So we kind of have the connections with these brewers, and we're able to connect them with Union, who's able to bring the beer in for this event. I think what you said before about curated events is really interesting. And I think that's the direction that we're headed as an industry. I think probably most people listening now have had an experience of going to a local beer festival and having something, you know, that didn't quite feel right. It felt more like they're waiting in line for a Disney ride or
I hate waiting in lines.
Yeah, man. Just
I don't go to Disney.
People in pretzel necklaces, like smelling awful, elbowing you out of the way. People stepping on your feet and, you know, kicking over trash cans and being loud and obnoxious. And, you know, it's some volunteer pouring you the beer that knows nothing about it. They can't tell you anything. The beer itself is something you can get at a gas station, you know, so why pay $50 a ticket, $60 a ticket to go try it in a field with a bunch of loud people?
Yeah. So, well, you have a cool connection. You're at Industria in Manhattan, which is like a kind of major photo shoot.
Industria, location. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've been awesome too. Their spaces are beautiful. They have a few different spaces around the city. They have two on Washington Street, I believe, and then two down in Brooklyn. There might be others, but yeah, big photo studio. That's where they started, and now they've been doing more events.
And wow. So Hop Culture, Juicy Brew Fest, December 3rd.
That's it.
And you guys have a special discount for Beer Sessions
Radio
listeners?
We do. 10% off for anybody listening. If you're in New York City considering coming, code is Beer Sessions with an S, and that'll get you 10% off a ticket. Yeah, we'd love to see you there. Love to meet some people.
Wow, that's great, man.
Yeah, we're running out of tickets for session two. I think there might be 5 left.
Let's talk about something else.
Yeah,
so that's exciting.
Else.
You got some great beers lined up. Other beer festivals, you know, what else do you like in the world of beer? What was the coolest brewery you've been to? I'm sure you've been to a lot.
Yeah, wow, that's a great question. I was just at Equilibrium. I love Hudson Valley. They just opened up just north of the city. They've been killing it. The beers they're putting out are the sour IPAs are absolutely incredible. And I love Beacon, the little town they're in. You can go hiking, come back down from hiking, and just go into the brewery. It's a great experience. And
you can just take the Metro North, too, from New York City,
right
to Beacon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Take it right up. I think it's a short walk into town, and then short walk to hiking and all types of restaurants there. So it's just a complete experience, which is awesome. Other festivals. I just went in Denver to the What the Funk Festival that Crooked Stave throws. And I think they did it really well. They did it right.
That's a great brewery.
Love
that. Great brewery. Love their stuff. Well, that's cool, man. You're getting around.
Yeah, I get it.
And another thing. So like craft versus, you know, macro, you know, just picking things out of the air. All the breweries you have are pretty small, pretty, you know, interesting for your festival. It seems that there's not a lack of new craft breweries, small breweries that are like local and committed. You want to say anything about that?
Sure. Yeah, I think the favorite part of my job is finding people who are doing some really cool stuff like that and being able to tell people about that and share that with other people. I mean, that's the best part, I think, of beer is being able to try something and then share that with other people. And if you have an experience of going into a tap room in a new place and, you know, having the platform to tell people about that is awesome. So I was just up at Woodstock Brewery, which is opening up in right outside Woodstock, New York. So that's
another Hudson Valley.
Yeah, wow. Another Hudson Valley. Bit of a drive, but I think they're going to be awesome. They're opening up soon. Westkill is up there too, which isn't one that a ton of people are talking about. Fox Farm in Connecticut, I've heard is awesome. So yeah, just like finding, I think when you're promoting a small brewery like that, you're promoting people as opposed to, as you mentioned, big beer.
Evil Empire.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't say Evil Empire necessarily, but It's a corporation for sure. It's a little less of an individual. Whereas, as you know, from going into these small breweries, you get to talk to a person and have a connection and a real relationship.
I'll give you my anecdote. I was at a Union Square, and there's a holiday market up now for a whole month.
Oh, yeah.
I was helping out a buddy, and he's a guy who works in, you know, restaurant industry. He's a cook. You know, he's been a bartender. And he did bring up, at the end of the shift, he brought out a little Bud, and everyone drank that. But then the next day, he kept going back, and he was going to whatever store he could and trying as many different beers as he could. And he really was into craft beer, and he hadn't tried a lot of beers that we have. And you realize there's a lot of people that are just on the edge that really do want, you know, to try new beers and craft beers. And I think the biggest issue is what's available in their store, you know. And, you know, if you're out in a certain neighborhood, you might only get some of the larger, you know, craft breweries or macros. Sure. So, I don't know. That seems to be it, that they're on the verge of everyone really wants the craft. Yeah. They want the better product.
Well, who wouldn't, right?
But it's accessibility to the beers is an issue in some places.
That's definitely, I mean, I'm from Pittsburgh, and it's starting to change, but the distribution into Pittsburgh is such that you really don't have, I mean, New York is a mecca. New York is great. A lot of stuff moves through New York. But in Pittsburgh, for instance, like I said, starting to change, but you don't have as much moving in there. So when you go to your average craft beer store in Pittsburgh, you don't have the same selection that you do coming into New York or Philly, which is pretty close to New York. And that's part of what we're trying to change with what we're doing in the whole festival circuit is bringing stuff into
the market. Cheers, Kenny. I'm so glad that you're on the show. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
In 1996, Sheehan Family Companies, formerly L. Knife & Son, acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn. Union Beer has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. It has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Brooklyn and parts of Queens through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten Island, and Long Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education at all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the seven counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit unionbeerdist.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, check us out, heritageradionetwork.org. There's a big membership drive going on, and on December 4th, you can come to the Heritage Radio Network party. It's a first annual fundraiser. It's going to be a big shindig, but check it out, heritageradionetwork.org, and under members and donate and all that. And it's a great, great place to put your money in before the end of the year. So we're talking with Kenny from Hop Culture, and he's got a festival coming up, Juicy Brew, and Justin Kennedy, our producer, just joined us. But right before the break, we started talking about, I think one of the biggest issues is, you know, for Kenny's Fest, Juicy Brew, he's bringing in all these specialty small craft breweries. That's what I like. You know, when I own a bar or I'm at a festival, I get to choose kind of what I want on the show. People are bringing us all the new best stuff. But I really feel like for a lot of people, whether they're at a restaurant or bar, and especially if they're in a supermarket setting or a deli somewhere, if they're outside of like these core, you know, urban areas, you know, what are the choices available to them? You know, sometimes I'm out way out on Long Island, and you know, it's all macro in the store. There might be an AB owned crafty beverage, and you know, maybe one local. So, you know, I think that's a big challenge facing the industry is actually getting into those distribution networks, and I think that's where the macro guys might be trying to lock everybody out.
Yeah, I think that might be true, Jimmy, but there's also breweries everywhere now. So I think if you're going out to Long Island, you're going to visit the small breweries. You're going to buy beer directly from them and not rely on the grocery store. And if you have to rely on a drugstore, you can still buy a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale or Celebration or whatever.
Well, that's what I mean to say is we think that, and in the places that we go, we know that, and we know to go to the breweries. But I meant like a cook that I was working with this weekend, for him, you know, he doesn't always have those options. And even he said where he lives farther out in Queens, there really aren't options at his store. So I think I'm talking about like the market, and people talk about how much of, you know, the market is craft as a big issue. This is something to talk about. We never talk like this. It's Thanksgiving. Let's talk about beer.
Sure.
But you know, I think that for the average person, what's available to them, there's not that many choices in their store. Yeah. You know, let's talk about that.
One thing that I've seen lately is in the same vein that you have.
I'm just stirring the pot.
Yeah, no, it's we good. Got you're a good
Kenny
pot
here. You know,
I disagree with you, Jimmy. So yeah,
that's good.
We'll get into it.
But yeah,
in between you guys. One thing I've seen lately is just like you have craft breweries, I've started to see craft distributors pop up, which I think is fascinating. So right now you have distributors kind of locking a lot of people into very long-term contracts or even in perpetuity. So you might sign on with a distributor if you're a brewery in Pennsylvania for the lifetime of your brewery. And those are the terms that they're offering. And you can't really do anything about that because they have the best distribution networks or they're the only distribution network set up in that area. But I've started to see smaller distributors, just like you have small craft guys who are offering, you know, much more favorable terms. Maybe
short term.
Short term.
See how it works out and we'll go from there.
Exactly. So, and I think that really fits in with the craft ethos of kind of building a community and interacting with people on a person to person basis as opposed to a company.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a couple of those in New York. I know Serene and Remarkable Liquids are the two biggest ones that I can think of that do smaller, you know, they have a smaller portfolio. They're bringing in really specialty, not that the other guys aren't. I mean, Union Beer brings in
incredible stuff.
Yeah. They got everything from.
And they have all your festivals. Yeah. Well, one thing also is New York State has changed. New York used to be that way where you're locked in. Mm-hmm. And it has changed. Guys like Steve Hindy at Brooklyn Brewery led the fight.
Nice.
So actually, if you're at a distributor, what used to happen, this is a story from Brooklyn Brewery that I can say because it's been on the air, is that say a distributor, again, like farther out, not in a major urban area where there's not as much competition, would have taken in a label like Brooklyn Brewery and used it in their advertising. But then actually what they were selling, they'd be pushing like cheaper products. Hmm. So Brooklyn Brewery, they would use it, you know, to sell other stuff. And at that time in New York over 20 years ago, Brooklyn Brewery was locked in. And now if the sales go down, basically now the breweries are protected in New York State. If you're not selling less, if they're selling less than a certain percentage, you know, of your beer, or you can get out of that contract. So New York has actually been really progressive the same way it's been, you know, progressive about new breweries.
Yeah,
so,
that's great.
But it's becoming, I think New York's becoming a model. But still, when you go out into these other areas, it is true. There are certain neighborhoods. You walk in, it's a kick-ass, you know, display, 400 beers, you know.
Yeah.
But I still feel that for a lot of people, they don't have as many choices as we think that they do.
Right. Yeah, we're definitely spoiled in the city.
Yeah, I just recently discovered my local bodega carries Lawson's Sip of Sunshine. So, but, you know, I walk in there, I can tell what they carry Union stuff. They carry 12%. They carry a little bit of Remarkable. And you just look and you're like wow, they got a lot of awesome stuff here. But I can just see which distributors that they're working with.
Let's go on that tech. So you said seeing Lawson's, you know, in your store, that my eyes would light up for that too.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, this is like, this is awesome. I'm going to
What are some other ones that you would, if you saw in like your regular corner store, you'd be...
Oh, the same place also sells Omnipolio, which is a Swedish brewery that I think they make beer in the States now. A lot of Evil Twins, Stillwater. So that's all the 12% portfolio.
Yep.
I love Sierra Nevada for bodega beer. You know, six pack of Celebration Ale this time of year is...
I'll give a shout out. My friend the cook, again, from my market experience this weekend. My friend the cook, you know, I realize he doesn't get to talk a lot about craft beer. He's from Dominican Republic. Great guy, hardworking guy, loves beer. And he was like, he all of a sudden kept saying, but Sierra Nevada, man, everything from Sierra Nevada is good.
That's true. Everything true. from them is good. Some of it's great, but almost everything is good.
I feel that way about Allagash.
For sure.
I love Allagash.
Yeah.
I'm an Allagash fanboy. People know that.
And they have pretty wide distribution.
They do, yeah.
Mostly urban areas. But I think, you know, so I go to Florida for holiday. You were saying you do too,
yeah,
Kenny.
Yeah, I do as well.
And I like checking out the new breweries there, but if I can't find anything that I feel comfortable doing, I'll always get Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Now let's switch subjects. So, you know, next popular beer style, you know, there's IPAs, there's sour that are at your fest. Can't go wrong with that. Everybody's going to love that. I just started reading from the Brewers Association, the Session Beer Book by Jim Talley.
Oh, yeah. I got that too, yeah.
And so it made me start thinking about what is the next style. Like if I, for example, say I was going to open a brew pub or a small brewery, what's the next style that I would want to focus on? Or things like Hefeweizen going to come back? When you mentioned Allagash, I think about their white. What do you guys think if I were opening a new brewery, what would be something that...
IPAs.
why?
Seriously, I think IPAs they're not going anywhere. They're evolving. It's unfortunate, but that's what...
You think it's unfortunate?
A little bit, yeah. I personally prefer to drink other things lately, but...
Well, you should try the Equilibrium. This is pretty good. Let's pop this next one.
It's a good style. I think a lot of people do it well, or a few people do it really well. A lot of people do it kind of mediocre, but these guys are great.
I think, Jimmy, you hit the nail on the head with session beers. I think table beers and kind of the lower ABV beers are making a push, but I also agree that IPAs aren't going anywhere. The haze craze might seem like a trend, and it might be, but...
It's going to be around for a little bit longer.
It works, people like it.
There was a little Facebook controversy. You know, Steve Beaumont, our buddy, Toronto-based writer, there was a... Garrett Oliver was quoted in England mentioning
I saw that,
New England IPAs and hazy. First, Steve Beaumont's a great writer. If you don't know him, follow him on Facebook, because when he starts a conversation on Facebook, it is like journalism. I mean, everyone who answers is a writer, and it's some of the most interesting reading out there. But you know, what is it? New England IPAs, hazy, you know,
I think all that stuff is just, if you want to make a buck these days, that's what you go for. And, a lot of people, you know, I think Kenny's got an awesome curated list of those breweries that do it really well.
This Equilibrium is it's kind of like it's a hazy IPA, right?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, this is that
super
style.
Hazy. Yeah.
Yeah, both of these.
But do you think is there going to be a name for that style? Is it just hazy
Northeast IPA?
Is that
Northeastern New England IPA? I mean, that's going to splinter at some point where people start distinguishing between all these different things. But
I love that so much.
Dave gets to drink leftover beer.
Yeah.
That's why he works here.
He likes waiting in line for beer too.
So. Yeah, I do too. I'll wait in line.
I don't know what else. I think Pilsner's coming back a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
I was just down in Austin, Texas, and they make a lot of awesome Pilsner down there. And
it's hot down there.
And it's hot. And there's a German, there's a German tradition around those areas.
There is.
Yeah, so
and even Bock beer too, right?
Bock beer. Yep.
I think Celis Brewery just reopened this year.
They did. Yeah. I mean, that's like a wood beer, but
Have you been to Hudson Valley?
I have. Yeah,
I mentioned them earlier, but I think they're doing something with IPAs that nobody else has really done yet, and I think. So, you know,
what is that?
The sour IPA.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had sour IPAs before. They've mostly been not good. But
is it like a bread IPA or is it really sour?
I think it's a kettled sour beer, so it's lactobacillus and pediococcus.
There's a lot of lacto. You can definitely taste that.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting. It's so hard to describe. It's like trying to describe the color red to someone who hasn't seen red before, you know. It's like, how do you explain a flavor to someone who's... I've never tasted anything like it, I'll say
it's
that.
It's like when I go shopping with my 15-year-old daughter at a makeup store, there are many shades of red, dude.
You didn't know there were so many shades
of red. That's like sour IPAs.
That's exactly it.
That's a good point. You know,
one of the other breweries on your list, Austin Street, they do great stuff with Brett and hops. They have a series...
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a beer called Brett Loves Hops or something like that. And it was one of my favorite beers last year, 2 years ago, whenever I had it. So.
And then, Justin, for you, I mean, you bringing in different beers every week. You got a lot of samples in the mail.
I do.
is there anything new? Let's go back to style. Style-wise that you're seeing, or are you getting the same stuff?
It's a lot of the same stuff, to be honest. It's not a lot of new stuff. A lot of... messed up stouts, like stuff that has either fruit in it or different barrel aging, different adjuncts.
Those pastry stouts.
Not a fan of, yeah.
Those dessert stouts.
I just had some, the latest batch of Bourbon County, and a lot of those were not drinkable for me. So some of them were pretty good, the basic ones. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like we're treading our wheel.
I guess it's back to what we were saying. It's cure. You got to curate.
Curate. You yeah. Got, there's 7,000 breweries in the country, right?
And you I think can't 6,000 now.
6,000.
Yeah.
Seven. Yeah. Some.
Maybe 7,000 with pulled, but, ones in planning. Yeah.
But I mean, even 6,000. Like, how do you? You can't get to all of them, right?
No,
like,
no.
How do you know? How do you choose? What do yeah. you do? I'd like to see more spontaneous fermentation. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I've seen that from Black Project in Denver. Denver's doing a lot of it. Kind of the middle of the country is doing a lot of it. Jester King.
Yeah.
Is Crooked Stave spontaneous fermentation? Or do
they do
something?
It. They do it.
They do a little bit, yeah.
I think Black Project is 100%. No, that's incorrect. I shouldn't say that.
I think they're about 100%, but...
They do a lot of it.
You know, and Pete, I'm going to reference, Pete Brown was on a couple weeks ago in his book, Miracle Brew. At the end, he went through his yeast chapter,
mm-hmm.
and I'm letting Pete know I actually read the whole book, the yeast chapter, and he wasn't a fan of sour beers, but he went to a sour beer festival in Belgium, and he actually, he tasted and loved Crooked Stave and wrote a lot about it.
Oh, Crooked Stave's great. I mean, the people there are great. The beers they're doing are great. They actually started a clean program, which I think is super interesting.
Yeah, I had their Pilsner when I was out there.
You mean non-sour beer?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Most breweries start with non-sour, and then they'll get into sour. But they're one of the few that I can think of that started exclusively sour and then went.
You know, it's almost a Belgian thing. There's Bierzel, which is... a Belgian brewery, and they I think they make more sour beers. They have a Bierzel lager that is one of the best lagers out of Belgium. That's a Shelton Brother beer.
Yeah, I think once you go towards that sour thing for a while, you start to swing back towards clean beers. That's where I, you know, for me personally, my profile or my palate wants to drink just like kind of boring beers, whether that's a Pilsner or a Hefeweizen or whatever. But you know, you just get fatigued from all the weird flavors that are going on. So,
all right, man, we're having a cool beer talk here. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Hey, like what you hear? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. With fresh programming every week, we've got something for everyone. Trying to start your own food business? Concerned about where your food comes from? Looking for the best wine or beer to bring to a party? Find our shows on iTunes or Stitcher, or head to heritageradionetwork.org to listen live and subscribe to our newsletter.
Hey, all right. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We've got some downtime. It's Thanksgiving. It's the kind of week where everybody's out in Manhattan. The bars are full. We're hanging out, kicking back. We're pulling out some beers from the fridge here. This is
one I brought last week, Jimmy, and I didn't open it.
That looks like Hardywood, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a Hardywood Foolery. Ooh. It is an Imperial Milk Stout aged in bourbon barrels. It's 13% alcohol.
So. We were talking last week. We had a great barrel age show with the kids from Beer Table. And let's talk about how beer gets to you guys as journalists. I'm not a journalist because I don't get beer in the mail, but you guys do.
We do.
You know, how do people interact with you? I mean, I get some really weird emails. I just want to say this. Right now, like Stella and I think even Budweiser have people emailing media regularly about how cool this and it's a really long email with details, but it's Stella and it's Bud. How are people interacting with you guys as journalists?
I get it beamed to me straight through Instagram. I don't know about you.
No, I don't get much Instagram, mostly just email. I get two dozen emails a day about PR stuff,
and yeah,
most of it I just delete.
Yeah.
So but then, you know, you'll see something that looks interesting and they'll get your address, and I've heard there's databases of writers, and they'll find you and send you stuff. Yeah. Which is, it's usually great, but yeah, like Hardywood is the one we're drinking now.
Let's talk about Hardywood's cool. Maybe five or six years ago.
Hardywood is very cool.
They tracked me down at Jimmy's Number 43, and one of the partners or managers actually showed up with beer, and they never really overwhelmed me. They were really cool about it, but they would actually come in person a couple of times, and I think once or twice they mailed me a couple special releases, and I like their beers too.
Yeah, so they're out of Richmond, Virginia, and they've been around for 5 or 6 years now, I think. And they make, I guess what they've kind of become known for is their barrel-aged stouts and barrel-aged other beers.
This is Hardywood Foolery.
Yeah, they do.
Foolery, yeah.
The Christmas Morning.
Christmas Morning.
I think
Gingerbread Stout.
Is it still the highest rated milk stout of all time?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's not my favorite beer. This one is, I think, a little bit better. But
I do like this a lot. Yeah,
yeah. This isn't a tough
panel of critics, guys. Yeah, so, you know. nothing gets by these.
They're building a new facility. I don't know if you.
Yeah, in Goochland, Virginia, which is my favorite name.
But Kenny, so you know, you went from Gear Patrol. If you don't know, I mean, I think it's cool when you told me you're a Gear Patrol. I'm like, oh, my ears perked up because you've covered some things that I worked on in the past. And, you know, so obviously you've had access to the best beers and the best brewers. But with Hop Culture, you know, so what are you trying to do with Hop Culture as an online magazine?
Yeah, I alluded to it a little bit before. I think there's 6,000 breweries in the country. How do you know what to try? How do you know what to keep an eye out for? When you're traveling, where do you go and what do you look for? So I think as a magazine, the goal for us is really to curate the best of what's out there. You know, we kind of do a lot of the legwork. We travel a lot. We have writers all over the country. We have an Instagram at Hop Culture Mag. We do a lot of photography from our travels. It's kind of just seeking what's out there and being able to really curate what's out there for everyone.
And you did. And then back to this list for the event, Juicy Brews. I'm getting excited about this. I learned about Civil Society through Union, I think last year. We almost had them on.
Those guys have been in town quite a bit. They do a lot of collaborations with local breweries, Finback and Other Half. And
I think they just did one with Magnify.
Magnify, LIC Beer Project. They got a strong New York City connection.
So. But from Vermont, this one jumps out at me. Foam.
Foam, yeah.
Foam.
Tell me about, I haven't tried them yet. Heard a lot about them. How did you get them?
Foam, I called them. They're in Vermont. I've actually never been there. There was a person on our team had recommended that one to me. And I reached out to them and...
They're in Burlington, right, Kenny?
I think they are in Burlington.
Yeah.
Vermont is just its own enclave of awesome beer.
That's true.
Yeah. But they were super, super nice. I think it's unique in a lot of the breweries that I meet and talk to in that they have quite a few founders. And I think they all come out of the industry, out of different parts of the industry. I think there's six of them or seven of them maybe.
Guys, we got a special. This is Thanksgiving, yes. Guys. We have some fresh pizza.
Our pizza has arrived.
In from Ribalta and Chef Pasquale Cozzolini.
Pasquale.
Sit down, grab the mic. And Robert Michael Jones, who's repping the Buta Antoniona, which is an artisanal beer from Italy. So you guys sit down, jump in.
And, welcome, my friend.
Let's get your voices on quick.
Sorry we're late.
Robert, first, talk on the mic, bro.
This is
behind the scenes, kids. Just listen in. Robert, good to see you, buddy. Just talking
good
to the mic.
See you too. Yeah, absolutely.
Right in the mic.
Good to see you.
And Chef Cozzolini, how are you?
Oh, very good, very good. We tried to get some helicopter, but...
I think it's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, which is kind of like a Friday for most people, so you probably hit some traffic. Next time, take the L train to Morgan Stop, come to Roberta's.
We will definitely be doing
quick,
that.
Quick, Robert, so you work with Ribalta. Mm-hmm. Tell me about Ribalta. You're making some of the best pizza in New York. We're going to go head-to-head with Roberta's tonight.
Yeah, it's a little bit, you know. Ribalta, born in 2012, and, you know, I want to literally replicate what is the pizza in Naples, because I'm from Naples, born and raised. So I took this recipe and...
Let's taste it. Come on, Robert.
Get out, get out.
And so the recipe is the oldest recipe that we have in Naples. I just did some more touch on myself, like a long fermentation, over 72 hours, 90% of hydration, so much more water. And I'm sorry it's cold, because it took like a... We did this like 2 hours ago.
We're literally in a cab for an hour.
Tell you what,
and 15 minutes.
Why would I pay? How much is this pizza? This is a whole pizza. What does this cost?
This is the amount of like two pizzas is $30.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why would I pay $30 instead of a 99-cent slice in Manhattan? I'll tell you why. Because the 99-cent slice doesn't taste good anyways, but as soon as it's not hot, yeah, it really tastes like cardboard. This, as a cold pizza... This is really fucking good.
Thank you.
Can I swear in the air? Yeah. You can swear if it's fucking good, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rivaldo. You guys came on. This was, I never had you came from Manhattan to deliver me pizza.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is better than getting free beer from beer reps, you know?
It's better than caviar.
2.0.
I don't eat pizza. I haven't eaten pizza in like 2 years. I'm eating pizza today.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you.
And then, Robert, you're working for Birra Antoniana?
Yes. So,
so why don't you... Let's pop it and taste it, too.
So, yeah. So, I'm working for Birra Antoniana, a great little craft brewery out of Padua, family-owned craft brewery out of Padua. Michele and Sandro Vecchiato are the two owners, and they've been at it since 2011. You know, they rock what they're doing. So, essentially, we're seeing a... kind of emergence of craft beer in Italy right now. You see brands like Balladin coming out of like little kind of northern and kind of mid areas in Italy, where you have a lot of the fantastic you have some of the fantastic ingredients that kind of culminate. So part of the big thing with Birra Antoniana is that they are really very dedicated to sourcing all of their ingredients from Italy. And not only that, they just bought up 6,000 hectares in Naples. They have thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of land all over Italy, where they grow their own malt, they grow their own hops, and they get their own bottles.
To the chase, when we go to an Italian restaurant, too often there's a Peroni, a Moretti.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's stuff like Balladin that we love, but it's on the super high end.
Right,
so this is something that...
This is going to be that mid-range.
The craft.
So something that you're looking for, like what you're drinking right now, you're drinking Altinate. That's going to be the Italian's answer to the IPA. You're looking at 33 IBUs on that. The SRM is a little bit darker than what you'll see for an IPA, but it brings out that little bit of malty, mango-y character that you kind of can get used to in a tropical IPA. Like I said, all of the ingredients are sourced directly from Italy, so it's kind of interesting. You get some of that earthy aridness from the highlands. And it's, you know, super...
It's good. It's different.
Yeah.
I was originally for this show. Sorry, you guys were stuck in traffic. We're going to taste the IPAs that Kenny brought versus the Italian beer and see what was better with pizza. But Chef, now we got Chef Cozzolini on. Come on. I put you on Instagram. My friend Gennaro Pescia loves you. So you're a big deal. You had a book about what? The pizza diet?
Yeah. I used to be like 372 pounds. And one day I was, you know,
you had two seats in the airplane.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe
my
three.
God.
Almost three, because I'm 6'6", so I was even bigger. No, I mean, I tried many diets.
That's because you had too much pasta, right?
No. Actually, the Italians. That's funny, because Italians, we eat pizza and pasta every day. We are the skinniest in Europe. So that's not the carbs, the problem. That's why I came up with the pizza diet. It depends on which carbs you eat and which quality of carbs you eat. So I came up with this diet. You know, I worked next to a nutritionist, a doctor, and we came up with this diet that is basically the Mediterranean diet, but you gotta put in the center of your diet something that makes you happy when you wake up in the morning, and not
So you have chocolate.
Sad, you
chocolate
know,
pizza
you know,
for
you
breakfast.
Know, when you have a diet, restricted diet, you wake up in the morning and say, "Oh my God, I'm so starving," before to wake up.
Oh yeah.
When you have your favorite food in the middle of your diet, you know, it makes easier the job. So of course, it's not this size pizza.
It's chocolate pizza.
Is a smaller.
But you think that so the quality of the food matters the same as the quality
yeah,
of beer.
Yeah.
So you're saying how long do you let the dough sit?
72 hours. This
so
one.
This is not fast food.
No.
This is quality.
Slow food. This is slow food. Yeah. The water inside is not almost 90%. So the percentage of water is very high. So you have less flour, more water, and that's why the color is low. The whole pie. I mean, the individual pie, 11 inches, is 540 calories. That's it.
That's less than a big
540 calories in that whole thing?
No. I mean, the individual one. This is double.
Yeah.
This is
okay. 1, so it's
still, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
So I can have half the pie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we're saying you could go to Chipotle and get a burrito, or you can go to, you know, Mexico and get a burrito.
It's different.
It's different burritos.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I've been to Mexico City. The food is amazing. Mm. Literally amazing.
So, chef, what do you like to drink? Do you drink beer more? Or drink wine more?
I'm Italian. I'm not a wine guy. I'm a beer guy.
Beer guy.
So I only drink beer.
So, what do you think of these beers? The beer to Antoniana.
No, I like every kind of beers. I really like Antoniana. Actually, we have in my restaurant, and we have the one that we made in Naples, the Marechiaro. You know. Just to keep the philosophy.
It's for pizza.
Yeah, pizza, blah, blah, blah.
There's a lot we can talk about. I'm sorry, we're going to have to have you back because we're not going to go on that much longer.
Mm-hmm.
The big story in pizza in New York is that other guy from Naples who's coming to the Bowery.
What's his name? Sorbillo?
Sorbillo.
I don't know if they're coming.
You don't know that?
Because maybe they're not coming. Because
it was all over Eater, New York, and maybe they're not coming. But he beat the mafia in Naples.
No, they're not. I mean, they already opened up a spot in Little Italy. They already closed. I mean, I believe New York is a very different city. I came here with nothing. I was nobody. And then I built my story here in New York. For chefs that comes from other countries, they think they're very known in them country. And they come here, oh, okay, it's easy for us. It's not. New York. Once you prove here in New York City what you
so maybe you can do. New York pizza is better than Naples.
I mean, I do Neapolitan pizza here,
but you make
it's
it
better
in New York.
A Neapolitan guy than come in New York to do the Neapolitan pizza.
Okay, so my story. So you got yours, Ribalta, which is great. Out here, Roberta's, one of my favorites.
Of course,
Motorino,
mm-hmm.
They're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They're all good, aren't they?
Yeah, there is another one on Austin Street. It's called Song e Napoli. That means music of Naples. This guy is a very tiny, tiny pizzeria. And the guy is super funny. You go there, he sings during, you know, he's making pizza. He sings,
to the pizza?
Yeah, Ciro.
That's how
Ciro.
You got to
try him. He's, he's a great guy.
Rob, you're just talking to him.
Oh, yeah, no. It's you know, it's some of the big part of you know, New York is pizza. And I think kind of getting back to the roots of what really defines pizza in New York is so important. You have pizza from all over the place, and especially kind of what we know is some of the best pizza in New York is Neapolitan pizza. It's the thin crust. It's, you know, it's going to be...
And you work at Ribalta, too.
And I do work at Ribalta as well. And so, you know, it's... I love selling beer. I love selling pizza. So it kind of goes hand in hand, especially when you get it excites me when you get like new people coming to New York. I'd say at least 70% of the people that come into Ribalta are first time guests. So you know, you get people that are coming in from all over the United States. They've never had New York pizza. They're super excited. What is New York pizza? Well, New York pizza is just like the rest of the world or the rest of the country is it's immigrants coming here and making pizza, which is the best part of New York. It's not what is New York.
You're calling it immigrants. Come on.
It's all
that's the other show. That's the political show. Justin, for you, pizza and beer pairing. You think some of these IPAs from the Hudson Valley would go well with pizza? Does everything go with pizza?
In Hudson Valley.
I'd say everything goes with beer. I don't know.
Everything goes with beer. I think everything goes with pizza. I prefer wine with pizza, but that's, you know, kind of strange. But yeah, I think some of the sour IPAs could totally go with some of the pizza.
You get a nice cheese in there, that nice high acidity for a cheese to kind of... So one thing that I
Wait, Chef, sorry. Like, oh,
go ahead.
This guy, we got to get him.
It's funny because it's something that I noticed even in my restaurant. You guys, you all drink wine by the pizza, on the pizza.
Yeah.
Next to the pizza. In Italy, we all drink beer.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
So,
and I'll tell you an inside trick. I can say this on there. Roberta's, you'd have a great wine program, a cocktail program. Mm-hmm. The owner actually told me, and this is a great pizza place, that this is a great beer place. So I think a lot of people that come here know that
Roberta's
beer
is a great
goes
beer place.
With pizza, you mm-hmm, know? Mm-hmm. And I can't believe what they have online here sometimes, like Oxbow and Hill Farmstead, you know, really great. So big shout out to Beer and Pizza, man.
Thank you.
Keep talking, Chef. You're you know, I got to meet you in the spring with Robert. Robert, five words, quick. I met you. You had the hot blog. You're an aspiring beer guy, and you got a job selling beer, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So
you're living the dream.
I started. I mean, it was 11 months ago yesterday that I started my beer blog, and my sister like encouraged me to do it, and then basically I started doing it. I met you through Brewstoria
Club in Queens.
Yep,
yeah.
And I did a shout out to you on a post, and then you invited me to a beer festival, and then you invited me to more beer festivals.
You posted something, and you got 400 likes, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We noticed these things.
Of course, and it just kept on growing and growing, and now. Me and my sister are like head in head, like who's gonna get to 10,000 followers faster? I mean, Pasquale has almost, 50,000.
Almost
60,000.
I'll join that race. We're almost at 10,000.
Oh my god! Yeah, hey,
you want to go?
Yeah, you want to throw it down for a pizza?
Let's throw it down for a pizza.
Let's throw it down for
right
a pizza
here, right now.
I would be down for that.
What are you at? What are you at?
I'm at 74. So I mean, my sister's
okay.
at yeah.
We're
yeah,
at 82.
Okay. So we're not.
So all maybe, right, maybe boys, there's a handicap.
But Pasquale. So you also have two different names. Your chef Pasquale Ribalta.
It's just Cozzolino. That is my name, my last name.
But really, so
Brigante.
In Italy, Brigante. So you're saying people like to drink beer with their pizza?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in every pizzerias, the number of beers is crazy.
Are you from Naples?
Naples City, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm actually never saw a bottle of wine next to a pizza.
In Naples.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, I'm happy because I think the beer is better with the pizza because the bubbles cleans, it's matched perfectly with the acidity of the tomato.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like carbs on carbs. Like I like the...
Carbs and carbs.
Yeah, I like what wheat wine and does wheat. When you're
It's
when
like
you're
the turducken.
Yeah, exactly. More meat and meat.
You're thinking about, is this Thanksgiving almost? This is like my Thanksgiving dinner right now. I'd rather have Ribalta pizza and Roberta's pizza mm-hmm. and some good beer. Screw the turkey,
perfect match.
Man. Some people do that, but that's a... And we have to be careful what we say on air now because, you know.
Don't worry about the carbs. Don't worry about the carbs.
But the pizza diet, this is contrary to everything everyone believes in, Atkins diet going way back. So yeah, having good food, being happy, you
good
lost
food,
a lot of
timing. I mean, if you
You were 392, now you're 300 and...
I'm 225 now.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean
100 pounds.
6'5", 6'6". Mm-hmm.
He's a big guy. If you were here, he's just sitting down. He's taller than me. So.
No, I mean many people blame pizza, blame pasta. But
Kenny's why didn't I do
coconut?
A beer and pizza festival?
Yeah, come on, damn it.
That's next. Actually, it's a good idea. Beer festival. Do you have any food at the Juicy Brew Fest?
Yeah, we do. We got Strange Flavor coming. They're Brooklyn Szechuan style.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, awesome people. And we got Molly's Milk Truck, which just opened a brick and mortar in Williamsburg. They're pretty dope, too.
And then Ribalta. So it's a 12th Street near Broadway in
Manhattan.
12th and
Broadway.
So in Manhattan. We're back in Manhattan.
Manhattan.
And if I go in, just a typical experience... I walk in.
Italian experience.
Is there a host? Is there a bar?
There is a bar right when you get in the restaurant to the left, and Italian all over, literally Italian all over. Our customers are tourists from Italy. They come here, they try some stuff outside, and then the Italians are so crazy, and they come to us. the whole week of vacation. I say, try something different. I mean, you're in New York City.
I'm like that. I don't know about you, Justin. When you were down in Austin, was there one place you found that you kept going back to, or you kind of?
No, I went to a bunch of different places, but yeah, barbecue was the meat stuff was what I was going for. So, I like to. Yeah, I've heard Italians like to just eat Italian. I've heard it like Italy, like the number one customer is like Italian tourists. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. But
I like it. I would go back there too.
Thank you, man.
And so this pizza again. So you couldn't rush the store. Let's say it's a you got really busy one night.
It's by the order. It's by the order. You know, it's we do this pizza only when you sit at the table. We prepare for
but
you. But
I mean the dough.
Yeah.
So. What if you were so busy one night and you didn't have the dough sitting for 72 hours?
Could no, you I calculate. Yeah. I always have like a 20-30% more dough. And when I have some leftover, I do bread with that dough. Yeah. So I make more than normal.
And then in other words, as a pizza maker and a brewer, you know, the grains that you use, you know, did you ever go to a wheat farm or... Do you know where your wheat comes from or your flour?
Yeah, I don't know. I think everybody knows that 90% of the grains has come from Canada. Even the Italian one doesn't exist anymore because it's not worth to grow wheat in Italy because you need huge spaces and the result is not what you want. So we basically buy wheat from Turkey, from Canada, from Russia. We are very good as coffee, as wheat, as chocolate. We are very good to mill, to toast, to process. So we take ingredients from all over the world. And we are good. We are good to process. Yeah.
And then, well, this is. I'm so glad you guys came. I got to taste this pizza.
Can I give a pizza shout out real quick?
Go for it.
If you're ever in Pittsburgh, Spack Bros, S-P-A-K, that's a little hometown favorite, a little hidden gem, Spack Bros in Pittsburgh.
All right.
They do something maybe not quite Italian style, but it's pretty damn good.
Is Justin, a favorite pizza of yours besides Roberta's?
Two Amy's Pizza in Washington, D.C. is my favorite.
That was quick. You had that ready.
It holds a dear place in my heart, so.
And then last, it was a big shout out, Juicy Brews Fest, December 3rd.
Juicy Brews Fest, yeah, December 3rd. Discount code. If you go to hopculture.com and you look for Juicy Brews NYC, discount code is Beer Sessions. That'll get you 10% off the ticket.
That's named after us. I love this place.
Named after you, Jimmy.
I love that guy.
See you there.
But this is fun. I really want to appreciate it. To me, this is my Thanksgiving show, and this is the best Thanksgiving I ever had. And I'm not into turkeys, really, but I do like really good pizza. I like beer. What's the name of the beer, Robert, again?
Birra Antoniana.
We didn't get to talk about it too much. Our
can
friends,
I say? Can I say in an Italian accent? Antoniana.
You just say a few more things. What's the name of your name? You talk in Italian. Say what's the name of my restaurant? My restaurant is.
Il mio ristorante si chiama Ribalta e due blocchi da Union Square. Ooh. Everybody are listening and understanding.
I mean, I'm in Manhattan. I'm going to start checking it out, and we're going to stick around here at Roberta's Pizza.
Actually, we open a new one. It's Fast Casual in the Pansy, Madison Square Garden. We have a counter, so you just order the pizza and. We give a buzzer, and when he's ready, in the
nice,
pantry.
Nice, man. Well, cheers. Let's make a big toast to everybody.
Cheers.
Once again, thanks to Justin, Chef Cozzolini, Robert, and Kenny for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. Big shout-out Justin Kennedy, our producer. Thanks for putting the show together. Yep. David Tadashore, engineer. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo!
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. and we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.